Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
America at the crossroads, America in the balance. Is America done or is she not? Will America come under Babylonian occupation, or will America be restored to the place where God originally ordained it to be, as the Republic established in 1776? Let's talk about that, Saints, from a biblical perspective. There's no doubt I'm getting calls all day today and continually over the last few weeks concerning this matter of concern, if you will, for every American, especially Christians. We are very concerned at the direction of our nation and the potential for all-out evil if the Joe Biden administration takes place in this land. All evil will break loose. The plans they have that are coming out already, before they even take their place, if they're going to do that, absolutely frightening. So it should be of great concern. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, this is so important, this is so relevant, it's never been more relevant than it is now in our day here in America. We are to pray for those in authority, and that is civil authority in particular, give thanks for them. Why? So that we can live quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. 1 Timothy 2:2. Our text is 1 Timothy 2:1-8. I want to highly encourage you, believer, to pore over this passage. And let's talk just a little bit about it in summation. If God wants us to pray to Him for those in authority, and He's stating here that if we pray to Him, we will have quiet and peaceable lives, which would require an administration of civil government that is law and order. And we know which one of the two administrations is law and order, and we know which one is absolute demonic anarchy, the other party being the Democratic Party, and they're communist. They are Satanists, literally having bowed the knee to Satan. There's much proof of that, and I won't go into it and glorify the evil, abominable details of it. In fact, Karl Marx, is quoted as saying, quote, "Satan is a good communist," unquote. That tells us all we need to know about communism. We already know that Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. And so we know that the Democratic Party is all about and only about stealing, killing, and destroying. Everything they do is under that banner, that heading. But Jesus said, "I've come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly." And that requires, as God has ordained, the punishment of evildoers. And that's what we're praying for, both foreign and especially domestically, that the swamp would be drained. In the name of Jesus, let it be, Father. Amen. So God wants us to, this is not up for negotiation, folks. God is saying here in 1 Timothy 2:2, and when you pray, you're praying is really limited to your knowledge of God's Word. So you've got to know that you're praying according to the will of God, which is the Word of God. And the Word of God is the will of God. And here it is stated right here that God wants us to lead quiet and peaceable lives. We all know that requires that evildoers be punished. There be a penalty for those who would disturb the peace. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 and 14 tell us also of the ordained, the divine ordination of civil government, and that would be to punish evildoers. That's what the government is here for. Somebody says, well, Trump isn't a spirit-filled preacher. I don't like him. He's got a bad attitude. You don't. Listen, take a step back. You have a lot to learn, my friend. A lot. He's a civil servant. He's not a bishop or a pastor in the body of Christ. Okay? Some people think he's saved. I hope that's the case. I don't see the fruit of it, but I hope that's the case. But that's immaterial. He is a civil ruler. There are three institutions that God ordained among men, among society. Okay? And it is number one, the family. Number two, the church. And number three, civil government. Get that grid and work off of it in all your thinking, beloved. We've got a lot on this topic on safeguardyoursoul.com. Just go to America. Okay, safeguardyoursoul.com/America, or just go to the drop-down menu, and you're going to learn a lot about civil government. This is going to put a lot of things in order in your thinking so that you can learn and teach this and help others. There's a lot of people running around half-cocked because they have a little bit of information, but not a whole lot less than they need to have. That's why we have to talk about this, saints, so that the knowledge of the Word of God, not my word, God's word, not your word, God's word, can be spread. God was not silent on this. In fact, all things, not some, but all that pertain to life and godliness are found in the exceeding great and precious promises, the Holy Scriptures of the Lord, 2 Peter chapter 1. And right here we read that God wants us to have quiet and peaceable lives, an orderly society, not anarchy. And this is, notice this, he goes so far in verse 3, 1 Timothy 2, to say, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Isn't that amazing? He even goes, again, he takes affirmative assertion of his desire, his ordained purpose for there to be law and order. That's the only way you can have a peace, quiet and peaceful lives where evildoers are being punished, 1 Peter 2:13 and 14. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. If there was ever a question in your mind whether or not God wanted law and order or anarchy, that should be silenced, and it is right now to every true believer. If you don't believe that now after reading this, time to get saved. Verse 4. Notice of God our Savior, he says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Notice, God wants there to be quiet and peaceable living in America. This would go for every land, but let's talk about America because America is in the balance. And this is according to his perfect will. So that's why we're to pray for those in authority, civil authority, so that we can live quiet and peaceful lives, because God is not willing that any should perish, but he desires that they would all come to the knowledge of truth, be saved and come to the knowledge of truth, verse 4, as the body of Christ testifies of this one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, verse 5 and 6. There it is. God wants ultimately his perfect will, as is stated in this passage. It's so beautiful. God is so good, saints, that he wants us to have an orderly society. He wants us to have law and order. He wants foreign and domestic enemies punished, 1 Peter 2:13 and 14. And he wants the body of Christ, he wants those things done by civil authorities that he ordained and put in place, Romans 13 also, so that the families, especially the Christian families, are protected, and all families, which is God's building block for society. That's why the enemy's children, the communist Democrats, want to destroy the family unit and pervert it into something God never ordained. A family is a man and a woman married with children, period, non-negotiably. And he wants us to be able to testify of this great mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. In fact, in verse 8, the Apostle Paul says he would that, I will therefore that men, amen, especially men, gentlemen, this goes for you too, ladies, pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. You know, recently all of this activity has just, God has been using it. I see so many people repenting, submitting themselves afresh to the Lord, 2 Chronicles 7:14-15, and crying out to God, seeing that our land of peace that we grew up in is at jeopardy. Somebody said, well, that's not good. It sure is good, because God works all these things together for His good. Amen? You're not in control, neither am I. He is. And He would that we pray everywhere. And what would that include? What is the context here? Well, the context includes that we have quiet and peaceable lives. We continue to have them. Some have said it looks like America is going to go through a near-death experience. You know, have you ever met anybody that went through a near-death or claims they died? A close friend of mine told me this week he died for, I don't know, 10 minutes or something. It changed his life. The guy's on fire. He has been for years since I've known him. And he said that was the turning point. Well, we've been praying for draining the swamp, haven't we, saints? You think God might be answering that? Let me tell you, if this nation is spared, it will be by God and via the repentance and the prayers, 2 Chronicles 7:14-15, of His people. Amen? That's why this land will be saved. That's why this land will be restored. And make no mistake, the only reason. America got its start with enough Christians and enough of the Bible at its foundation. I didn't say everybody in the foundation was a Christian, but a lot of those guys that weren't, admittedly, like Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, those guys knew to respect the Word of God. They knew that much, okay? And God used them to found a nation that is unlike any in history, it said, where individuals can have liberty and a capitalistic system, free enterprise, and not be under tyrannical rule. We have experienced that, and it is God's will that that continue. It's not perfect. Never will be. But it's a whole lot more perfect than other things we have out there. There are people dying every day of the year trying to get here on boats and rafts and everything else. Do you know that? Why are they fleeing those lands? God forbid that we take for granted this quiet and peaceable living that we have been experiencing. And this should be a motivation, if nothing else, that we seek the Lord in repentance and praying and crying out to Him that we might live quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty and do the Great Commission. Here it is right here. To testify of this one mediator between God and men. Some people say, well, I don't get involved in politics. Well, let me say this, self-righteous one. Why not be the light? Why not be the salt of the earth? By not arguing because you like one candidate over the other so much as introducing the light of the Word of God to people. Take the opportunity. You're not trying to get in a fight with everybody. You're just trying to put the word in there, and the word of God never comes back void. But it always accomplishes that which God sends it forth to accomplish. Your job is to repent, shut up, and put the word out there. Shut your own emotions and all that flesh down. But cry out to God to circumcise your heart. You're to be an ambassador for Christ. And what? Why not? Be an ambassador of Christ in every and any realm that you're engaging in a conversation, putting forth the light. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye into all the world. Some people have this evil, atrocious, sadistic idea that America needs to suffer judgment. That's coming out of a self-righteous, evil heart, in my estimation. In fact, if we're going to pray justice, we got to start with praying justice on ourselves, right? Do you want justice for the sins you've committed, or do you want mercy? Because if justice was done, we'd all be in trouble. We better love mercy and walk humbly with our God. Isn't that what we read in Micah? Love mercy, chapter 6, verse 8. Love mercy, love mercy, love mercy, love mercy. Anybody, love mercy. Mercy. When you really get broken by God, you're going to realize how much you need mercy, and without which you will perish. And notice Titus 3, 5, and 6. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his what? Mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Micah 6, 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Saints, inasmuch as we need mercy, we must cry out to mercy, for mercy, for ourselves, for others, and for this nation. Not judgment, mercy. Let me just say this. You've got it all concocted in your mind as you act like you're God and that you know God should judge this nation. Let's put two nations side to side for a moment, maybe three. America, Russia, China, okay? God hadn't really judged them with nuclear bombs falling all over their land and other majorly overt ways. And they've done atrocities that make America's pale in comparison because they've been at it a lot longer. Okay, so let's get off the high horse and let God be the judge, and let's cry out for mercy. Let me finish with Jeremiah 18. Let's talk about how the Lord deals with individuals and with nations. You will recall in Jeremiah 18, God tells Jeremiah, his servant, his prophet, to go down to the potter's house and to watch the potter. And then he uses that as an illustration as to how he works with men and now nations, beginning and picking up in verse 5. He is the potter, by the way. We are the clay, it says in this passage, right here in verse 6. But notice verse 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? In other words, can I not manipulate you, the clay, as I see fit? God is God, folks. One thing's for sure, there is a God, and you're not him, and I'm certainly not him. O house of Israel, the people of God, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. America, saints, is in the hands of God. And it would behoove us to cry out in repentance, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, not the world, my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Then, he said, turn from their wicked ways and cry out to him in prayer. Then, he said, he will, let's read it, straight from the text. Here it is. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, humility, prayer, submit yourself to God, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Repentance always brings a change of life, good fruit, and acts to the root of evil and sin. Then will I hear from heaven, it's a promise, and will what? Forgive their sin and will heal their land. How many people want America healed and liberty and law and order, those go together, reestablished and better established? Because a lot of that's been stolen, and that's why president or commander, whatever his name is going to be, a title, Donald Trump, if God allows him to remain in the White House, will be the 19th president that is under the Republic of the United States of America. America became a corporation in 1871, I believe it is, when they subverted and changed the Constitution. Many of you know about this. And the last president of the Republic, that is, that began and was born in 1776, the last president was Ulysses S. Grant. He was the 18th. Trump would be the 19th. But God promises that if his people, not the world, some people in their immaturity are looking for all these people to get saved so we can restore this. No, he's calling on his people, Okay, and by the way, when his people are doing are in perfect communion with him, other folks are getting saved. Because by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. When the body of Christ is thriving as God ordained it to be in oneness with him, abiding in Christ and bringing forth the fruit of the love of God, ministering the truth of God, the world's people are going to see it. And they're going to glorify the Father in heaven and get saved. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So God says he's going to heal, forgive the sin and heal the land. Now, verse 15, 2 Chronicles 7, mine eyes shall be opened and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Amen. God said he's going to hear it. You know, we just need to do what he called us to do. Stop trying to play God, humble ourselves, repent of the arrogance and pride, and pray. Turn from our wicked ways, seek his face in all humility and brokenness, crying out to God to heal this land. That's our part. And we're going to be brought into accountability for our part. And he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy. I say that to those who just have something in them, some evil, sadistic iniquity in them that just wants to see America get judged. Well, that judgment's coming on you too. Read Jeremiah 29:7 and you'll see just that fact. And that's why he instructed us to pray so that we don't experience these things. What did I say that was? It was Jeremiah 29:7. There we go. Here it is. And seek the peace of the city. That would include the state, the nation, whither I have caused thee, or caused you, to be carried away captives. They were carried away captives at that time. And pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof ye shall have peace. See, in the peace of America, we're going to have peace. We've had peace in the peace under the in America to this point. We are to pray. We are to seek the peace. Law and order brings peace. Punishing the enemy, 1 Peter 2:13-14, brings peace. So wherever you find yourself, in this case, Israel, the people of God, were carried away captives. That would include us because we're not home with the Lord in the New Jerusalem yet, ultimately. So we are away from home, and we are to pray for the peace, seek the peace, and pray unto the Lord for it. Does that not coincide with 1 Timothy 2, that we're to pray for our leaders so that we can have quiet and peaceable lives? It sure does. For in the peace thereof shall you have peace. That is self-explanatory. And that should be our prayer. Verse 7 of Jeremiah 18 as we close. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, notice a nation, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation, somebody says, well, I know God has declared judgment on America. Okay, let's say he has. But notice what he says here. He's saying here, at what instant I shall speak or declare concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck it down and pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it if that nation, are you listening, saints, against whom I have pronounced, turn from their evil, I will repent. I'll change my mind on this situation and of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Didn't God try to save Sodom? And he said that if only 10 righteous were found, he would do it. Yes. What about Hezekiah when he cried out to God, Isaiah 37:38? What did God do? He added 10 years, I think, or was it 15, to his life. Isn't that a blessing? God is so good, saints. He's looking to show his mercy. Psalm 86:5-15. God is ready to forgive. I don't know about you, but I am so glad that God is ready. He's postured. Look up the word ready. And get all in this, brother. All in it. Psalm 86:5-15. Aren't you glad that God is ready to forgive? He desires. He's postured. He wants to. He desires to forgive and show mercy. Amen. The prodigal son and his father. Think about it. For thou, Lord, Psalm 86:5, thou, Lord, art good. Aren't you glad God is good? He's great, but he's also good. His will is good. His good will and good intention is what? He's ready to forgive. He's ready to show mercy. That's why we're to love mercy in a reflection of our Father. That's why he sent his only begotten Son while we were yet sinners to die on that cross for our sins. And he was buried and raised again from the dead so that you and I can be justified by the blood of a Lamb, Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad? Have you been born again, friend? I encourage you to call on the Lord today, to get on your knees and to cry out to Jesus, admitting that you are a sinner and that you have violated the laws of God and that you're asking Jesus Christ to take over your life, and you're declaring him as the Lord of your life, surrendering all. Amen. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you want more information on how to be saved, I want you to go to safeguardyoursoul.com. There'll be a button at the top called Making Peace with God, or just Peace with God. Psalm 86:5, For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them. Unto who? All them that call upon thee. Amen. Amen. Are you ready to call upon the Lord? I don't care if you've been saved or you're not saved yet. If you'll call on the Lord, you shall be saved from wherever you are right now. And Jesus will come into your life and you'll be a new creature in Christ. Old things will be passed away. All your sins will be washed away in the blood of the precious Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Verse 15, Psalm 86, But thou, O Lord, art a God. Notice this. Now, God could have told us anything right here. Anything. But what did he say? Thou, O Lord, art a God full of what? Hate? Judgment? No, that's not what it says. Go read it for yourself. I might be making this up. Get your own eyes on the Word of God. King James Bible, Psalm 86:15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. Aren't you glad? When Jesus was on earth and he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Bible says that when he saw all the people as sheep without a shepherd, he was moved with what? Compassion, not hate. Compassion. So God is full of compassion and gracious. Aren't you glad? Long suffering, otherwise we'd all be in hell already. And plenteous in what? Mercy and truth. Don't you just love it? So the truth we're seeing here, that God the Lord, he is full of compassion. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. And he's plenteous in mercy. Aren't you glad? I am so thrilled and absolutely invigorated afresh at the goodness of God. That's Psalm 86:5 and 15. Absolute life changer. I dare you to get into Psalm 86 for yourself and open that treasure chest. Pray before you begin and ask the Lord to show you all his benefits. Because he said, forget not all his benefits. Psalm 103:2. Back to our text, Jeremiah 18:9. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit it. So God is saying that he wants to restore America if his people, which are called by his name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways and serve him, doing the great commission in quiet and peaceable law and order society, making the one and only mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ, known to others. So one of the things that we have not been doing, because all the false prophets, most of them that run these so-called churches, these local churches, they could care less about the Great Commission. They're building a church business. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Do the work of the ministry, as Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:5, I believe it is. And that means to preach the word, to communicate the word of God everywhere, to pray God would fill you with the Holy Ghost and to walk in the Spirit every day and to help people know Jesus. And by the way, that's done by the Spirit of God when he's ruling and reigning in your life through the cross where you're dead and buried and Christ is raising you up and your cup is running over on the people around you. We must be about our Father's business, beloved. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. That's what Jesus was about. In repentance, we no longer a self-will, but we cry out to God, not my will, but thine be done. What is the will of God? It's stated in the Word of God that you preach the gospel to every creature. But God has to do that through you. So the most important thing is to get up every day and look for the demotion, not the promotion. Let God lift you up. Let the Holy Ghost, let the resurrection power of the Holy Ghost raise you up as he did Jesus from the grave. Romans 8:11, if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and he raises you up as you bow down in humility and crucified with him, crying out to him, Lord, you must increase, I must decrease. Not my will, but yours be done, O God. Declare it every day upon getting up and throughout the day. Walk Galatians 2:20. Have you memorized it yet? Have you memorized it yet? Galatians 2:20. Okay, verse 10, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good. Then he says he'll repent of the blessing. He'll pull it out, pull it back. Now, therefore, go to speak to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Now, some believe God is saying that to America. Could be. We've done evil. We've murdered around 60 million people. Innocent babies by the barbaric murderous act of abortion. Okay? So do you think God might be framing evil against us? Very possible. Probable, yes. Then he says, return, that's synonymous with repent, ye now everyone from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, notice this response. This is ugly. There is no hope. But we will walk after our own devices, and we will, everyone, do the imaginations of his evil heart. You know, that's what you got amidst us today. You got people that are like the 10 spies of the 12 that God sent into the promised land. 10 of them came back with a bad report. Don't be surprised. There's always going to be evildoers like that. But two of them came back and said, we are well able to take this land, because God had told them he's given them the land. That was already a given. Joshua and Caleb. Remember that? Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Go read that. Go study that. Go pour your life into that. It'll change you forever. We want to be like the two spies, that is Joshua and Caleb, and believe on the Lord that he said that if we'll turn from our wicked ways and we'll seek his face, he's going to change this land. He's going to bless this land. He's going to bring about a change. In 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 12, we read about Jehoshaphat and Israel when they were up against an enemy army, as we are now in this juncture in American history. And they had only one place to look, no different than when Moses and the children of Israel were standing facing the Red Sea, but it behind them was the chariot wheels grinding and coming their way to kill them of certainty. They had one direction to look, and that was upward. Amen. They cried out to God, and he opened that Red Sea, and they walked across. Not only did they walked across on dry land. If the miracle of dividing and congealing the waters for a million people to pass through wasn't enough, God gave them what? Dry land. Isn't that a blessing? 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12, the Bible says that God's people cried out. And what did they say? Let's read this in case I leave a word or two out. Okay, 20 verse 12, 2 Chronicles, what a chapter, right? Oh, our God, when they were up against insurmountable odds, they cried out, oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them, that is the enemy, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. There was a great army coming at them. They were doomed if God didn't intercede. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah, God's people, stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children, that is at stake. And then we read further in the chapter that the enemy turned his sword, their swords on one another. God defeated the enemy. It doesn't matter how he's going to do it. He's going to do it if his people will look to him and say, Lord, this is insurmountable. We have a Goliath of a system, a cabal, a Luciferian order the world over. And Lord, we cry out. We don't know what to do in the natural about it. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And they cried out to God, and he brought the victory, as he is going to do here. Let's pray, saints, as we close. Heavenly Father, we pray for the civil government in this nation to be according, to operate according to your ordained purpose of law and order, that we might lead quiet and peaceable lives, making known the one mediator, Jesus Christ, between God and man, to preach his gospel, the good news that he came to forgive us and to bring us into your kingdom, Father. We love you and we thank you. We ask you that the fear and the wisdom of God would possess all in authority. We give you thanks to them. We ask you to punish the evildoers in the midst of those authorities, to shine your light on them, to expose their darkness, and that they would be justly dealt with. We ask you now that all these evildoers, both foreign and domestic, within and without the government, be exposed and dealt with according to your justice. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for listening, saints, and God bless you. God bless America, and America, repent and bless God.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.